Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. We're just going to look at 15 verses, Revelation chapter 20. So we're winding down our series that we've been doing, and our series was on the coming storm, understanding the end times, understanding the times that are coming. And the reason why we did this study is to give you a basic understanding, because there is so much that's out there today. So many different views, so many wild, crazy things. Things like, oh, we're living in the tribulation right now, or that Jesus Christ has already come back, or he's not coming back, and this, that, or another. And it's kind of confusing, because especially if you're not in the Word, and especially if you haven't studied the Word for yourself, you can be very vulnerable to anybody telling you anything. And so as a pastor, I realized that people didn't. So we talked about a lot of things up until the point last week where we talked about the second coming of Jesus and his establishment of his kingdom. But we still got a little bit more to learn, because we got to talk about what happens after he comes. Okay, so we've talked about the coming storm. We talked about the storm. So let's talk about after the storm. Today, we're going to talk about the kingdom and the judgments. But we're going to focus today on the kingdom, because remember, this is why he came. Remember, I told you, it isn't just to come and set things right. It's because of a people group. It's because of Israel and the promises that were given to them, and the promise of a kingdom, that the Messiah would come and establish a kingdom. Then they would once again be in prominence, and all the nations of the world will come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord there. And so what we're going to look at today is a brief description of the kingdom in Revelation. It's just a brief description. And then we're going to see how that kingdom ends. And it ends not the way you think it should end, but it ends in a really interesting way. And then after that is the judgment, the final judgment. But, you know, George, I thought you said judgments. Yes, I did say judgments. Because when we talk about the final judgment, we're going to talk about the judgment of two different groups of people. We're going to talk about the judgment of the unsaved, what that means. But we're also going to talk about, if you're a believer, your judgment. You mean I'm going to be judged? I thought I'm saved. I don't have to worry about that. No, Paul very clearly, we're going to go to Paul, very clearly makes the point that you and I face a judgment as well. You and I have things we have to answer for. Not to go to hell, but for another reason. And we're going to talk about it all today. So let's look together. Let's look at verses 1 to 15 of chapter 20. Here's what John wrote. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, threw him into a pit, shut it, sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years are ended. And after that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those whom the authority to judge was committed. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast and its image, and had not received a mark on their foreheads and on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. When 1,000 years had ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out and deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their numbers is like the sand of the sea. They march up over a broad plain of the earth and surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. And from his presence the earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Wow. Pretty interesting chapter here in Revelation. To be very honest with you, it starts off really interesting, but it ends in a very tragic way. Let's talk about it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to divide our message into two parts. We're going to talk about the time of the king according to what John writes in Revelation. And then we're going to talk about the final judgment. So let's talk about the time of the king. First thing I want you to notice is that the beginning of the kingdom, remember when Jesus comes back, he defeats the armies of the world, he casts immediately the beast, that is the Antichrist and the false prophet, into the lake of fire, and thus begins 1,000 years of peace. The Old Testament prophets talk about this extensively. It's going to be a time where the lion will lay down with the lamb, a child will put its hand into a snake hole, a venomous snake hole, and be okay. Why will that all take place? Well, at the beginning of the tribulation, what most people won't understand is spiritually, because it's a spirit being, an angel, there is one angel who will be bound. Who is that? Satan. For 1,000 years. So that's my first point. The enemy of humanity, Satan, is bound for 1,000 years. Now, John makes the point here to help you understand that he's not just the enemy of believers. He's the enemy of all humanity. Do you understand? He is the accuser, the tempter, the murderer. He is the one who is wreaking havoc in our world. Why? Through his lies. Through his lies. He deceives people. He causes people to come against each other. And so if you're going to have a reign for 1,000 years where King Jesus is in control, it only makes sense that the great deceiver himself, that serpent, that dragon, Satan, the devil, would be what? Bound and cast into an eternal prison for 1,000 years. And that's what happens here. So the first thing I want you to see is the enemy of humanity, Satan, is bound for 1,000 years. Here's the second thing. Now, this is probably you weren't realizing this, because maybe sometimes we're influenced by what we see on TV or read in books and so forth. But here's what life's going to be like for you and I. Here it is. The saints will be given authority to rule with Jesus in the kingdom. You're just not going to be strumming on a harp. You're going to have a responsibility. And because we are his and we belong to him and we are new now, remember, we've been given a new body, you'll be given authority to rule with him over the earth. Now, what does that mean? I don't know exactly what that means. What does that look like? I don't know. The text doesn't tell us that. It simply tells us that you and I will have responsibility. Do you understand? We have responsibility. We continue to have responsibility. So it's not vacation time later. You and I will have responsibility and authority as we rule with him. That's the second point you need to understand about the kingdom. But here is the third point that is very interesting, because after that 1,000 years, all right, so talk about 1,000 years of peace, 1,000 years of perfect, where King Jesus, Jesus himself is in authority, and everybody knows he is in authority. After 1,000 years, Satan is released. Here's the point I want you to see. After 1,000 years, Satan is released to once again deceive the nations. Because that's what he does. And are we, humanity, susceptible to that? Well, you better believe it. And I almost think there's a reason for 1,000-year reign, because then what happens is here's the final point I want you to see, and I'm going to talk about this for a little bit, is humanity will rise up against Jesus and be consumed instantly with fire. All right, so I want you to think for a moment. I've often thought of this as I read this. This is like the final test of humanity. When you think about the course of history, humanity has this bent towards doing its own thing. And so then you come to what I would say is the final test, folks. So here we have 1,000 years where the earth is being ruled by who? Jesus. And you can see him. He's here bodily. And so it's perfect. It's perfect peace. And then when that 1,000 years is over and the enemy is released to deceive people again, guess what? I don't understand it. I just think it's the bent where humanity is. Humanity, again, even though they see Jesus, rejects him. And people gather from the four corners of the earth, a multitude that cannot even be numbered like the sands on the sea, coming against the holy city and the saints therein. And you're like, how did we get there? How's that possible? I'm telling you, folks, what's possible, even having Jesus right in your midst, if your heart doesn't believe, it doesn't believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you are rebelling against him, that rebellion comes out. And all it takes is just one fallen angel, who is the deceiver, to come out and deceive humanity into thinking, this is it, we're going to do it. And fire comes down and immediately... I mean, it's not even a war. I mean, it's not even him coming out. It's like immediately they're gathered, boom, it's over. And I'll tell you why I think it's the final test. Because immediately time ends. Because immediately what follows is the great white throne judgment, where all of humanity will then be judged. It's the final test. The final test is, here he is in all of his glory. He's established his kingdom. He's ruling it. He has perfect everything. And mankind still rejects. That's the kingdom, folks. I want you to think about it, because a lot of times we're ready for Jesus to come back and set things right. Here, I'm going to tell you something. In this instance, he does set things right for the entire world, and the entire world still rejects him. Can we wrap our brain around that? Here's how you wrap your brain around it. You realize it's a heart issue. It's not a proof issue. It's not that they didn't have enough information. They did have enough information. They had Jesus in front with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the final test. The kingdom. The time of the king. So then that brings us to just five verses at the end of chapter 20, the final judgment. And here's what I want you to see about it. All humanity will face the final judgment before Jesus. Bottom line, all humanity, everybody is going to face the final judgment. I don't care if they say they believe or not. The fact is, you're going to face the final judgment. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the scripture says. Every knee will bow. I don't care if they say to you, well, I don't believe him. But if you don't believe him, that doesn't mean anything. You're still going to appear before him. And he's going to be the great king and judge. And listen to what it describes here. It is amazing to me because here's what it says. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, the earth and sky fled away. It's not going to be Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, the cool Jesus. Jesus, the friendly Jesus. It's Jesus, the whole earth and the sky want to flee from. Paul describes it as the day of terror. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you see Jesus, when you come to chapter 20, the Jesus who's judging, no one wants to stand in front of him. It's the day of terror. So all humanity will face the final judgment before Jesus. I want you to understand that. And here's what I want you to see with this. The reality is this. Those whose names are not found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Folks, it isn't about what you're doing that brings you salvation. I hear people all the time, how do you know you're going to be with the Lord? I try to keep the Ten Commandments. They can't name any of them, but they are trying. And I try to keep the golden rule. What's the golden rule? You know, I'm saying do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Now, the reality is if you are mature and wise, you know that's not true for anybody. Period. There's no way any of us could keep that, right? And to make the point, all of the books will be opened. Your life is recorded. You may forget the dumb things you said last week, but Jesus said every idle word will be brought into account. All the dumb things I've said are going to be brought up again in front of Jesus. That's scary, isn't it? I mean, I want you to think about this. So all humanity will have everything laid out before him. But here's the point. That's not what's sending them to hell. Did you understand me? It's not the record of their life and their failures and their rejection that's sending them to hell. It's because their names are not written in the book of life. How do you get in the book of life? You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You get saved by faith. He pays it for you and you accept it. And those whose names were not found in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is the point. You're going to be there in the kingdom and you're going to be saved because your name will be in that list. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your name, if you put your faith and trust in him alone, not in your stuff that you do or don't do, you'll be in that list. But those whose names are not found in the book of life, they'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death for eternity. You said there's judgments, George. What other judgments are there? There's the final judgment, of course, yes. But I think this is part of it is you and I stand before him. What do you mean, you and I? Believers stand before him. We will be judged. Well, we'll be okay because our names are in the book of life, George. We'll be okay. Yeah, but I think there's something you need to realize because sometimes that's where we end it. We end it with that. We end it with My name's in a book of life. I'm okay. I can do whatever I want to do. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because we have to give an account. Do you realize that? Do you realize you and I have to give an account for our life? Period. Because he has the record of it all. What are you talking about, George? Well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at 10 verses. Here's what Paul writes. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day, what day is that? Judgment day. The day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, here's the one thing that we forget about. I know that I'm forgiven. I know that when I can go before him and I say to him, Lord Jesus, I did this today. You saw me do this. Please forgive me. I know that I am forgiven of my sin. But I'm going to tell you right now, that does not mean I won't give an account for it. And in the end, we have to give an account for our lives, what we did with our lives. Bottom line, you and I, even though we're saved, we have to give an account. Now, here's the two things I want you to see here. Believers will also face judgment concerning how they live their lives. You have to give an account for how you're living your life. That's the bottom line. You and I have to give an account for everything we say, everything we do, whether it's right or wrong. In fact, he describes what we do in several ways. It's like he's saying we're building on a foundation of Christ. What do you mean? We're like building a house. And here's the material you're using. You're using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. And in the judgment, whatever you built is going to be burnt. And what happens with gold, silver, precious stones when they go through the fire? Are they burned up? No, they're refined. They actually become pure, right? But when you talk about building with what? Wood, hay, straw. Sounds like what I throw in the campfire, right? What happens with it? It burns up. You and I have to give an account. And so the things that we do, well, all the stuff I did for Jesus. Look, folks, don't rest in just the things you did for Jesus. It's about the stuff you live in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And why you did what you did will be judged. Because it's really easy to deceive you with your motives, right? You know what I'm saying? I could do something great, and you could think, oh, man, Jack George is a great guy. Yeah, but I was doing it for selfish reasons. You just didn't see it. Well, the problem is Jesus sees it and he holds account. So it brings me to the final thing I want you to see here. While some will have rewards, others will have nothing except their salvation. Did you get that? We're going to live for eternity, but there is going to be something about being rewarded. But there are also going to be people there who don't have anything because they didn't do right here. I mean, yeah, they trusted Jesus, but their motives were all wrong. They were screwed up. They were self-centered. We're saying, oh, what do I need to do, George? Volunteer for Sunday school more? No. That may be wood, hay, stubble there. Can I be honest with you? Because your motives for doing that are wrong. And you have to give an account. You have to give an account for your sins. Folks, listen, there is forgiveness of Jesus. That does not remove the consequences of the stuff you're doing wrong. Bottom line, you need to understand that. You have to give an account. And those consequences, some of them, we face them now, but ultimately we face them, right? Except when we appear before Jesus, whom the rest of the world is scared of, but yes, he's our Lord, our love, but I still got to talk to him about it. It's going to be a scary thing, even though you're not going to get kicked out of the family, but you got to answer. This is what I think is missing from many Christians' lives today, is a healthy fear of God for their own lives. Because we're just as human as those who get cast into the lake of fire, right? The only difference is we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And we still have to give an account as well. But hopefully, and this is why we have times like this to talk about it, this is why I think he put it in the scripture, is to remind us, who are you living for? So let me wrap this up, okay? Let me wrap it up. Two thoughts I want to give you. Here's the first one. It's about humanity in general. I'm going to help you to understand this. No matter how, sometimes we think, if I could just change the message, I'll have more people understand. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you're dealing with people who don't want to believe. You need to listen to me. And so you pray for them. How? That God would open their eyes to hear. But the fact is, most do not want to believe. How can you say that, George? Because even when King Jesus is here, they don't want to believe. Do you understand? So that's the first point. The second point is this. But you do believe. So how are you living your life? How are you living your life? Because one day, you got to answer for it. And for some, they'll go through the judgment and the only thing they'll have is their salvation. But for others who really live their lives for the Lord, they'll have what? Reward. Who do you want to be? And the fact is, well, you say, it's too late for me. No, it's not too late. It's only too late when you die. You can change. So live your life for him. That's reality.
Hi, folks. This is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning, and I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free, and what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church, as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.